Our first reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 31. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seeds in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 10. "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everybody. My name is Patrick. I'm the curate here at Christ the King. If I could extend my very warm welcome to you, as in addition to the one you've already had from Steve, both to everybody here in the church building and to those who worship with us online as well. I particularly want to thank Steve, being a Scots person, not to mention the rugby result yesterday, but just to add, the other Scots person in the band did mention it first thing as soon as I came into the church, but through gritted teeth I'm going to say well done Scotland, and thank you for being so gracious. I just want to start, actually, by just reading verse 9 of that second reading, if I could. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are chosen and special. We are chosen and special in your eyes. So may my words be pleasing to you, and the meditations of our hearts also be pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So what does it mean to be chosen, to be a royal priesthood, to be God's special possession? During my training leading up to being ordained, you get put on various attachments and various placements. And I was sent to a very rural church, not around here, I want to just add that. And I was asked to lead a few services there. And they didn't have a regular vicar. So the guy in charge who was sort of looking after the services was the organist. And he was a lovely, loyal man of God, but I received an email from him 1 week, and he said, "Oh, there's a member of the congregation next week. He's 90. He's 90 on the Sunday that you're coming to lead." and he wants to read the gospel lesson. But I think not, he says. He said, because it's normally the clergy, it's normally the vicar that reads the gospel lesson. So I replied politely to him, and when the morning came, I went straight over to this chap who was 90, Bill was his name, escorted him up the front, and of course he read the gospel lesson. Now the chap organising the service, he of course meant really well, and I'll be very honest, let you into a little secret, I'm quite fond of some of our Anglican traditions as well. But they are secondary to our calling from God through our identities in Jesus. But sometimes our religious behaviour boils over into believing that certain individuals are more chosen and special. More chosen than special than others. Let me start by saying the clergy in this building are not more chosen and special because we wear a dog collar. Us, the Church of Jesus Christ, are chosen and special. So we rely on each other because, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we're in trouble. You're in trouble if you just rely on us. As good as Eleanor is, as good as Rob is, we rely on each other's in love because we are all chosen and special. Yes, some are called into formal ministry, of course, but all who believe in Jesus are called into, as Peter says, a holy nation. We are called into a holy nation. God's special possession in and through Jesus. We are made holy by being chosen and special. And when we accept this, our desires change. Our desires change. We want to pick up the Bible. We want to come here on a Sunday morning. We want to be in the estate doing Christmas carols. We want to be down the pub. We want to witness to people. We want to do all of those things. But I've got some good news for you. I've got some bad news. And then I've got some more good news. Yeah, I'm glad one is excited. That's great. So we just read Genesis. Thank you, Peter, for reading that. How things were meant to be. How things were meant to be. It was very good, the writer tells us. In the eyes of God, creation was very, very good. You see, humankind has been chosen, created in God's image, male and female, it says. Verse 26 says, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness." We are created in the likeness of the heavenly beings, and even more amazingly, the likeness of God himself. The likeness of God himself. As his counterpart. Now don't hear me wrong here, he's God, creator, put the stars in the sky, but he makes us counterparts. Why? Because in this way, he's called us into existence. The way of calling us into existence is as his counterpart. His counterpart in providing wide stewardship for a creation. And we have been chosen as part of God's creation. That was very good. Other translations put it, or completely perfect. Completely perfect. This was how the world was meant to be. Mankind in harmony with creation, and in harmony, this is the important bit, with God himself. But of course, here's the bad news coming up. But of course, there's a problem. What's the problem? It's us. If you had a business plan, you'd be saying to God, you know, put us in charge. You know, that doesn't seem like a good plan. But nevertheless, we are chosen and special. The problem is us. We know what happens next. Genesis 3:22, "And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil.'" He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Additionally, Genesis chapter 6, 5-6, where it really comes off the rails. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every indication of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. First of all, looking at the scripture this morning, we are chosen and special as living stones. We are chosen and special as living stones, verses 1 to 5. Instead of the physical stones used to build the Old Testament temple, where that was the dwelling place of God, instead of physical stones, we are now living stones being built into this temple, the body of Jesus. We're being built into a new temple. The rite once reserved for the Levitical priests of the Old Testament to come to the presence of God and draw near to him and worship him in the temple is now open to all who come to him, him being Jesus Christ. The living stone, the cornerstone of this, you, the new building. The result of this building process is a new spiritual house or a temple of the Spirit. Wayne Grundem, in his Tyndale New Testament commentary, puts it like this. The long history of God's dwelling place among his people finds New Testament fulfillment in the people of God themselves. What a good way of putting it. Fulfillment in the people of God themselves. We, the church, now have the task of declaring the glory of God through and in and by our identities in Jesus. But to those who don't believe, those who reject Jesus, those who stumble on this precious stone and reject the cornerstone of the new temple through disobedience, they have at best an unsure future. And worryingly, according to Peter, it's what they are destined for. That concerns me. That concerns me for the many friends I have who don't know Jesus. But here's the good news. However, we don't know what they are destined for. So we strive, we show purpose and vigour in seeking the lost. Through Alpha, through our children's ministry, through welcome, through hospitality, through discipleship, in the hope of adding to the holy stones of the new temple through Jesus, because we don't want anyone's ultimate future to be unsure. We don't want anyone's ultimate future, eternity, to be unsure. We are chosen as God's special possession in verse 9. We've been called out of darkness, become God's very own, his special possession, his new royal priesthood. Why? Because we are to show God's glory, to tell of God's glory, and show others the wonderful light and glory found only in Jesus. When will you next get the opportunity to do that? When you leave this building today, when will you get the opportunity to show the glory, be flavoursome, to be light with your friends, family, colleagues? And thirdly, we are chosen and special because we have received mercy. In verse 10, we have received mercy. Here we have a sobering where the rubber hits the road moment, perhaps. Once you had not received mercy, Peter tells us. Perhaps a parallel to Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. I will plant her for myself in the land, the writer says. I will show my love to the one I called, not my loved one. I may say to those called, not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. That's a reminder that all Christians are now partakers in the blessing once bestowed only on the Israelite people of the Old Testament. We all partake in that blessing now. The dwelling place of God is no longer the Jerusalem temple of the Old Testament, but the temple of the global Christian church, living stones are now being built into a new temple with Christ at the head. The church of people, a royal priesthood who believe in God through Jesus. People whose identity is firmly in Jesus and not the world. And a people like us, undeserving of God's favour and yet blessed by him in and through the wonderful atoning gift of Christ Jesus. So, to finish. The story of being set aside, the story of tradition, the story of it's only certain people can read the gospel, a lesson, just gives us all a warning, really, of how we shouldn't always lean too much into a tradition. And every church has it, including us here at Christ the King. Why? Because there's a much bigger story. There's a much bigger story than the way we like to do things. It's far more than our traditions. It's far more than our preferred templates of ministry, mission and worship. Far more than our denominations. And definitely far more than our worldly identities. So often marked by individualism, by a drive for notoriety, by our social media profiles, and by worldly ideas of identity, status and well-being. Far more than all those things. And at the beginning of the sermon, I asked, what does it mean to be chosen, to be a royal priesthood, to be God's special possession? Well, I'd like to suggest that it means that through and by God's grace, we have come to know Jesus, his son, as a chosen and special people, living stones, God's special possession, and a people who have received mercy through and in Jesus. How does that feel? Should feel, it feels pretty good to me to have received mercy. But there's got to be a result, perhaps. And we've talked in past weeks what all this means. We've talked in past weeks as we study this letter. Well, we've become wholly enabled by God's mercy through Jesus. We become prayerful, enabled and prompted by the Holy Spirit. We've talked about prayer this morning. We become gloriously dependent on God as we strive to surrender our will and replace it with his. And we become confident in our eternal future in and through Jesus. So do you want to strive to be more holy today? To be more prayerful today? To develop more of a dependence on God instead of our own will. And be confident in our faith as it stands now and our eternal future in and through Jesus. Amen.